Can we give my lovely assistant a hand? Awesome. Awesome, awesome. And without any further ado, I want to invite up Mr. Andy Mason.
Thank you so much. It's good to be in a place where I'm not a foreigner. As long as you don't call me a foreigner, that would be... I speak with the correct accent. Is that correct? I apologize for any words that I slightly change. It's because when you're in the States, no one understands what I'm saying. They understand what my wife's saying, and she speaks English as well. She speaks New Zealand English. But then when I speak... I work with this guy, Danny Silk. If you've never heard of Danny, he's just this crazy guy. And my wife would be having a conversation with him, and then I'd have a conversation, and he'd just look at me blankly. And I'm just like, what is wrong with you people? So it's so good to be here with my mum and dad who live in Taupo. And we get to come up and visit my sister and brother-in-law who live in Whangarei. So that's why we're here, which is really cool. And we've wanted to come up and catch up for a long time. It's been 3 years since I've been home, so it's just so good to be here. If you've got Bibles, anyone has Bibles? You have Bibles in Whangarei? You have electronic Bibles or real Bibles? Either way works. I was just during the worship, I just throw this out as a bonus. In the worship, and this is probably normal, I was saying to Matt, he's like, oh yeah, totally, got that. I was in the worship looking for a scripture, and I was just tracking, wondering where that is. And I get to the end of Exodus. I was reading the whole Bible this morning during worship. Exodus 40, verse 34, says this: "Then the cloud covered the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." This is when they made that tent that they traveled around with in the desert, the Israelites did. Remember when they leave Egypt? They're on their way to the promised land, which is theirs. They're in this gap, and God gives them instructions to build this tabernacle, a tent of meeting. And once they finally put it together, super detailed, then the cloud covered the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could no longer enter the tabernacle because the cloud had settled down over it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. I was just reminded, New Zealand is the land of the long white cloud. So what's the cloud? The presence of God, the Holy Spirit. And then if you jump to to the start of the book, and have you ever read the start of the book? What does the start of the book say? In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth, correct? Have you ever asked why? Why? So this, here's the question for you. Does God need anything? So is God perfect? Let's just check it out. Is he the Almighty? So he's all-powerful. He's the strongest being in the creation. Like, well, he created, so he's super powerful. So does he need any more power? Okay, so does he need any money? No, it says the streets of heaven are paved with gold, so he certainly doesn't need gold. Doesn't need anything. What about does he need relationship? Okay, so we've got Father, Son, Holy Spirit, 3-in-1. Is he perfect? His name is God is L-O-V-E, love. So he is love. So does he need love? He is love. So does he need love? He is glory. Does he need glory? So why would you even worship him? It's like going to, have you heard of a guy called Bill Gates? He's like a billionaire. It's like going to Bill Gates and giving him $5. Hey, here's $5. Oh, you sing the song, "We Give You Glory." Really? Does he need it? So does he need love? No, he's perfect in love. He's perfect in relationship. He's perfect in power. He's perfect in glory. He's perfect in everything. Correct. So why did he create you? If he needs nothing. Someone who needs nothing, why do they do anything? Because he wanted to. God does nothing out of need. He does it because he wants to. So does God need you to fix the planet? No, you're part of the problem. Isn't that right? Even when we think we're getting it together and I've connected with Jesus and I've done the discipleship course and I've done the finance course and I go to the prayer meeting and I go to the worship meeting and then I realize, oh, it's not about church, it's about a city. And so then I start to engage in my city. I'm doing things, connecting with people, and then, oh, missions. I should give money to World Vision and I finally get the plan and, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to vote because if I don't vote, it's being disengaged. And so I learn this process. And so I get engaged. I'm starting to add value to my community. I am growing in who I am and who God's made me to be. And I'm still a mess. I've still got problems, insecurities, fears. I'm still part of the problem. God could do this so much better without you. The worship would be better without you. I'm trying to make a point. Are you getting this? Like, so if he could do this so much better, like if you said the goal is changing the planet, making the planet a better place, if that was right, and God's all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-everything, he can do it better without you. If the goal was to get the job done, save the planet, don't you think that he'd wake you every single morning and tell you exactly what to do, how to do it, so you didn't screw up? Isn't that right? So is that what he does? Who wakes up every morning and there's a set of instructions on what to do? Oh, but he's a freak. These are very unique. Are you with me? So what happens? So if it's not about that, what is it about? What's eternal life even? So turn your Bibles, John 17, verse 3. Just so we're going to make it really, really simple for you. I was thinking on this morning as I was reading too. Who has a secret, has any secrets? Who keeps secrets? Nobody else is going to tell me that they keep secrets. Where do you keep secrets? Where do you keep your secrets? On your iPhone? Where do you? If you've got a secret, no one else knows it. Where is the secret hidden? But it's not really in my heart. It's in my head, right? It's in my thoughts, correct? It's in my thoughts. Have you looked at Psalm 91 ever? Psalm 91 says, what does Psalm 91 say? Who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Remember a cloud? What's another name for a cloud? A shadow. A cloud covering a land, which is the presence of God. A shadow covering a land, which is the same as the presence of God. He makes the Lord Most High his secret place. So how do you do that? Like, is that some weird thing? No. What's your secret place? It's my thought life. So where he becomes my thought life, I'm thinking about him, I'm connected with him all the time because he dwells, I am the tabernacle of God. So we read the beginning, in the beginning God created, why? Because he wants to, he doesn't need to, he wanted to, why? So that he could dwell with a bunch of people, so that he could walk with you in the cool of the day because he knows about your job, your business, your teaching, your everything, more than you do. He doesn't need you to do it, he wants to do it with you. He walked with Adam in the cool of the day. He invited Adam in with God to name the animals, to rule the planet. Why? Because he wants to do it with him. Because the greatest joy of a father is seeing a son or daughter fully alive. It's not more rules. It's connection that results in life fully alive. How do I know that? John 17:3. This is eternal life, that they may know you. That is eternal life, knowing God and living out this union with him in every aspect of life. Fully alive. So we've got a garden, Adam walking with God in the cool of the day, and then Adam screwed it up, correct? This means yes, this means no. Adam screwed it up. And so then God's had this plan all along to restore what was in the beginning. Humanity with God. How do we know? Romans 8. All creation is groaning and waiting for the children of God to get with the program. It's not about obeying a set of rules or setting up some tabernacle in Jerusalem. Don't give money to it. Because it's not about that. How do I know? Look at the end of the book. At the end of the book, Revelation 21. It says this. I'll just tell you. It says, and God made them his tabernacle. Jesus says the same thing. We are the tabernacle of God. You don't need a temple. You are the temple of God. So I'm the temple. I'm the land. Are you catching this? So why did God do it? This whole process is because he wanted to. He wants to. And then he covers over. He covers us. Jesus, baptized, gets out of the water. Holy Spirit comes on him and remains. So the Holy Spirit hovered over him like a dove, like a cloud. All this language is all the same. And we're the land of the long white cloud. Isn't that cool? So when I make him my priority, my secret place, that when I'm thinking about him, I'm entwining. Isaiah talks about that. When I entwine myself with him in my thinking, I'm entwined about him. I'm thinking about who he is and how this applies and how do I... I'm having this continual interaction with him during the day. Why? Because I'm scared he's going to kill me if I get it wrong? No, because he wants to. He doesn't want to just tell you what to do. He wants you to grow up and he trusts you more than you realize. So when I trust him and I dwell with him in the secret place... It says that who makes him a secret place, that he dwells with you, or you live under his shadow. Who's had an older brother that you've lived under the shadow of? Yeah. What is it positive or negative? Negative. What about someone who walks into a room and they're under a cloud? Have you heard that saying before? Someone's like under a dark cloud usually. Like one of your kids is upset and their face is kind of like thundercloud. Thundercloud face or husband, maybe husband. Are you with me? So have you heard that saying? Under a cloud. Is it positive or negative? It's always negative. Under someone's shadow, under someone's cloud, like you never get to be who you are. You're always trying to be somebody else. So Psalm 91 says we're under God's shadow. So what happens when we're under God's thumb? We can never really happen. It's life, just get saved and the rest of your life is going to be boring. Got to turn up at meetings. So what happens when you're under God's shadow? The opposite happens. More alive, more powerful, more free, more happening. Are you catching that? So when I make him my priority, which looks like I trust in him rather than my own ability, I trust his provision, protection, power, direction. My significance comes from him rather than trying to make a name for myself. When I let go, and that's a journey, because just when you think, oh yeah, I'm secure, I'm free, then you do something new or your wife gives you some feedback and you think, oh dude, I'm screwed up. So that's a journey. But we become more and more free. So, it's feedback, yeah. It's all about helping us grow. So, here's the scripture, John 17:3. This is eternal life, that they may know you. What is it? And that they may be one. So we may be one with God, which is like, what does that mean? Like, is that like Thor? Have you seen the Avengers? With his hammer? Is that, like, I want some superpowers. So as soon as you know that God's your father, John 1 says, you are born of God. You're born of God. No longer born of flesh or of water. You're born of God, which means, I mean, just play with that for a while. What does it mean to be born of God? Just think like Thor. Watch the Avengers. What would it be like to have superpowers? Well, you have superpowers because you're born of God. But it's not weird. It's not strange. You are from another planet. You are a foreigner and an alien. But this is our inheritance. It's the planet. It's ours. It belongs to us. Does that mean we go to conquer something? No, because that's not what Jesus did. He set up a different kingdom that influences everywhere. This is eternal life, to know him. That's the life pursuit. The challenge is that we don't know what he's really like. Has anyone seen Jesus? Anyone here? Seen, like, walk with him for 3 years, 30 years? Nobody. Correct? This is not a trick question. This is like none of us have walked with Jesus face to face like I walk with my dad. I don't know Jesus. Like, so everything we've got on the planet is an imperfect representation of who he is, because none of us are perfect. We think we're awesome, but we're not that much. Correct? So the challenge is we don't know what he's really like. And that's this journey of life, of learning what he's like and growing in trust. So the message this morning is Happy Father's Day. Because it's all about learning what he's really like. How do I know what he's like? That they may be one as he is one. So what does a father want? What is the greatest desire of a father? Number one, connection. Number one, connection. He wants his family back. He wants his family together. It's not just some spiritual thing, but it's in every aspect of the word. I want to be connected. I want to know you. What does that look like? I'll tell you a little bit later, because we've got something else coming. So number one, connected. Number two, what does a father want? So I want to be connected with my kids, but if my kids are like not well or struggling. So I want to be connected. Number two, I want them to be whole, and not just physically whole, but I want them to be thriving in every aspect of life. So in their finances, in their relationships, every aspect, not just spiritual things, not just turning up on a Sunday, not just giving money, but in all of life, thriving. So whole, physically, financially, mentally, emotionally, relationally, whole. Are you with me? Okay, so now I'm connected. I've got a connection with my kids, a restored connection. I'm going to tabernacle among them, which is what God says. I'm going to be with them. It's all about Emmanuel, God with us, not distant, not indifference. He's the air that we breathe. His name, Jehovah, translated, it's actually consonants, I think, it's Yud-Ha-Vav-Ha, which is breath. It's most likened to breath. God is breath, so which means that the most evil, wicked, vile person on the planet, when they breathe, they acknowledge God. Be still and know God. Why? Shut up, stop your activity, and just breathe. So when your husband is getting ticked off, and just, honey, just breathe, which means praying, actually. Connected, whole. So now I'm connected with my family, restored family connections, not just with me with them, but them with one another. Number two is whole, so physically, financially. Is that all you want? What's the third one? Fully alive, John 10:10. I've come they might have life and life more abundantly. John 14:15 and 16 talks about ask anything in my name of the Father and I will do it for you that your joy may be full, which is a crazy blank check. Yes. If God gave you a blank check, how much would you write? Wow. And who would you write it to? Oh, yeah. So number three is your dreams come alive. Not just some night dream, but the heart dreams. The greatest desire as a father is a man fully alive, as a child fully alive, fully happening, fully becoming everything they've made to be. And if there's anything less than that, then that's not church. Are you with us? So now I'm just going to tell you some stories about what he looks like, and we're going to just demonstrate it. So I've got this phenomenal team here. Are they going to come up? So this is Ben and Janine and Emily, and Lindsay's our oldest child. She's a teacher from Redding, California. So,
there was a little guy down the front. He had on a navy jumper with a zip down. I'm trying to spot his. Yeah. I just felt like God said he's a pastor and he will gather people, and just to not be concerned about the way he thinks, because he's called to see things differently, and he's going to bring things into the earth that others aren't going to see. And it's at times it's going to alarm you and alarm people around you, but God sees him as one that will gather, and don't worry about it along the way. And this gentleman here with a bald head, I don't know how else to describe you. Can you stand up for me? The guy next to you has a beard and glasses. Yes, it's you that's looking around. Really short haircut. what's your name, sir?
Andre.
I felt like he said you've always been Steady Eddie, and that he's giving you permission today to be not Steady Eddie, and that there's highs for you and lows for you that need to be expressed, and that when that happens, the real you will come out and people will be touched. I feel like you've held back who you really are for fear of when the real you comes out, you think that people are going to think it's ugly. And that you being not Steady Eddie, like experiencing the highs out loud, but also experiencing the lows and being vulnerable, is actually what is the beauty of who you are, and it's going to touch people's lives. I feel like that song, He's Never Going to Let You Down, is going to become your anthem song. And people are only going to know that it's real because you let them see what you consider ugly, but what God considers extreme beauty.
All right, long blonde hair, you're looking at me. Yeah, can you stand up for me? What's your name? Taylor. Okay, so I just had a picture of an umbrella, and umbrellas are usually one of two types. One is like really lacy and it's just for looks, and another is just to protect you from the rain. And I saw that you've been trying to decide whether you should be like hard and determined and really, really steady, or like pretty and just not really useful for anything. But I just, like, and that's not really a choice, is it? But you're like, wait a minute, but that's kind of part of my identity. But I just saw that it doesn't have to be a choice, you can be both. Because it doesn't matter how, like, you look, because you already look gorgeous. Because you're really, really gorgeous. But that just because you're gorgeous doesn't mean that you can't be strong and dependent and steady. The man in the glasses. Yeah, can you stand up for me? There we go. What's your name?
Tony.
Tony. Okay, so I saw Dad, and he's got this cool light on him. And always in the movies, like at the end of the movie or even like near the middle, the character will step into this ray of sunshine or light, and it'll be like that moment where they realize their identity. And I saw that, and it doesn't really make sense to me, because light, you can just flip it on. Like, it's just a switch. And it doesn't matter where it is, there's always light. There's always a way to get light. And so just because you've been trying to figure out where that light is, where your identity is, doesn't mean that there's not a light switch. Because your light switch is right by you, and it's always been right by you. You just have to turn on the switch.
So if you're wearing green, can you stand up? This is just a prophetic act. If you're wearing green, any kind of green, army green, Kelly green. I actually, as I was getting ready this morning, I just heard the word green. Yeah, take it. If you're even wearing a speck of green, just take this word. And it's not a long word. It's just God's got this. And I feel like it can mean a lot of different things for you, and it probably does. I feel like there's something, this feels so silly, but green money, at least in America, money is green. So I just want to say God's got this. I know you're not wearing green, lady in the back, but I feel like this is for you too. I've got more for you too, but if you stand up. God's got this. He's got you. He knows you. He sees the depths of your heart, the cries of your heart, and he's on it. He's encasing it. He's entombed around it, and you don't have to worry. If it's financial, I just feel this thing on finances. So it's if it's financial, just I want you to reach up and take, just pull the ripcord of heaven, and I just feel like the deluge of finances. Yeah, just if you're out there not wearing green, you go ahead and pull. just pull down the finances of heaven. He's got you covered. Yeah, so just declare perfect financial peace. Just take the peace of heaven over your finances today. Yeah. And for the lady in the back in the purple, what's your name? Alice? Elise. Oh, what a beautiful name. Elise, you just kept getting highlighted literally by the sun. And it was like coming on you and then going on you. And Elise, God loves you. He's so for you. I could actually, like, as I was scanning the room, I couldn't get away from you. It was like I just could feel the delight and the pleasure of the Lord resting upon you. And I want to say, I actually want to, in front of this entire crowd, just say, Elise, now is your time to be seen. Now is your time to be heard. And I'm just calling you forth in the Spirit, whatever it is that God has for you to do. Look, the sun's even on her right now. Whatever it is that God has for you to do in this season, now is the time. This is the place. You have not been forgotten. You have not stepped off course. You are on it, and God is on it with you, and he is highlighting you. So I don't know if you haven't felt that, but I want you to get ready to actually feel it. You're actually going to physically feel the being seen, and not just by, you know, God sees you, but actually, like, people are going to start to see you in a new way. And so I just give permission for eyes to see you. You, Elise, God's perfect daughter who he loves.
Okay, so the man over here in the glasses and the curly hair.
On the aisle?
Yeah, on the aisle. Can you stand up? Yeah, what's your name?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so Yap, I see for you the song, God, You Delight in Showing Mercy. So I feel like you're the mercy and God's just like really proud of you. And he wants to show off to everyone, look at who I made. Look how outstanding he is. Look how powerful he is. I just feel like he sees you as like one of his prized possessions. Positions. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Revelation 21:3, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. So all of you that want to die and go somewhere else, you don't have to wait. God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. So the challenge is, it's our thinking and knowledge of God. We think we're going to conquer a city, conquer the world, conquer something. It's like, dude, in the beginning, God created a perfect garden. Why? Because he wanted to, not because he needed to. What did he say? The mandate, have dominion. What does it really mean? It means to make beautiful. Your job is to make the planet beautiful. There's this guy, Tim Keller. He wrote this really good book. But he says this, God made the world not as a warrior who digs a trench, but as an artist who creates a masterpiece. You are God's work of art, created in Christ Jesus before the world began for good works that he prepared in advance. It's a conspiracy. It's about making beautiful. What's the problem? We've got screwed up thinking because the secret place up here has been occupied by something else. Looks like this. We did I want to tell just a series of stories to show you what it looks like. Is that okay? Because that's the problem. Because if we don't know what he's like, we certainly don't want to dwell with him. And we hear this, you know, he's the God who's, my God, who is closer than the air I breathe. Hallowed be your name. I'm aware of you. Closer than my skin, nearer than the air I breathe. If I think he's some distant, superior being, I'm never going to access what it's really like to be and walk and to know what it is to be born of God. And this is eternal life, to know him. So this is the journey. So I want to ruin you for normal and set you up on this journey to walk closer and closer and closer and say my life's pursuit is to know him. And it doesn't mean going to a monastery and not talking anymore. It means just doing life and inviting him to show me your ways that I may know you. So we did a course in the school, the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. So 1,200 students, there was 800 when we were there. It just keeps growing. We now do a class. I do a class called Heaven and Business, which is how to build a business that demonstrates a partnership with God. One of the sessions is about how to bring God to kings. Kings are influential people in your city. How to bring God to kings. So I teach on Daniel and what Daniel did in serving, Joseph did in serving Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar. And then my unsaved friend, who's the head of the Economic Development Corporation in the city, just recently left that position, I get him to come in and then give practical illustrations of how to bring God to kings. My unsaved friend, how to bring God to kings. Why? Because his job is to influence a city, to bring business to a city. He knows how to influence a community. So he can teach us how to influence and infiltrate and become a friend of a city. He comes in. I teach from Daniel and from Proverbs. Your gift makes room for you and brings you before great men. Is that correct? So you got to know what your gift is. Like if you don't know, discover, find out. Get the book, Dream Culture. What are you good at? And become good at it. Become better, whatever it is. If that's carving, be a great carver. If it's painting, be a great painter. If it's writing, if it's serving, if it's cooking, be a great, whatever it is, be good at it. Because that's what opens up doors. But that doesn't give you influence. That just gives you initial access. Because we all know someone that they're really, really awesome until they open their mouth. Second one is, he who has grace on his lips and a pure heart, the king will be his friend. How do you influence the city? Become a friend of kings. So how do you become a friend of kings? Just told us, grace on your lips, pure heart. What does grace on your lips mean? It means that I have gracious speech. So when I speak, do I release grace? What does grace do? Grace elevates the status of my hearers. They feel more powerful, not less powerful. What are Christians known for? Yeah. So do we release gracious speech or not? So that just this is for you to work it out. Number two, a pure heart, which means I have no agenda, which will really mess up every single evangelist. Can you control the outcome of anybody's eternity? No. Parents try that with their kids plenty of times and never works. Right? So I have no agenda other than to love you, because love has no restrictions or no control. So other than to love you And yes, and I want you to succeed, whatever you do. So I'll do that wholeheartedly. Do I want you to spend eternity with Jesus? Absolutely. I want you to know him. But if I'm not going to model him well, you're certainly not going to know him, because I'm going to repel you. So the biggest problem on the planet is not God. It's his representatives, which is us. So we just got to change it. So no agenda other than you prosper. Then my unsaved friend is coming in and talking about practical ways to engage with the community. One of the students says, hang on. It's a 40-year-old business person who's really successful. I have a question. He says, we do have an agenda. We want God to be in charge of the city. Who wants God to be in charge of Whangarei? God to be in charge of New Zealand? Certainly God to be in charge of the government. Who wants this? Who doesn't want that? Okay. My unsaved friend says, stop right there. It's the wrong question. God is in charge of the city. I'm sitting there just going, oh my gosh. I just had an unsaved businessman educate a group of supernatural ministry school students of who really is in charge. Are you catching this? What's the problem? The problem's not God. The problem's us. We don't believe what he's already paid for. We don't believe what it's already laid out. And then we get really offended with other believers that aren't really believers. Because it's okay when unsaved people that don't know Jesus, it's okay when they screw up their lives and make a mess and hurt us. It's when the believers, the people we expect more of, when they hurt us, then it really hurts. Right? Has anyone experienced that before? Oh, yeah, Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. The ones that were supposed to love him, know him, the ones that studied this, read this, when the person that this points to turns up, they kill him. So if you think you got a tough life, yeah, Jesus. So what does he look like? What's the father really look like? One, he wants his kids connected with each other and with him. Two, whole. Three, dreams fully alive. So what does that look like? I teach soccer. So I'm a coach for my son's team. And I'm the fitness coach. They have names for me. But they're the fittest team. Under 12, I don't believe in participation. And so you're from New Zealand, right? We don't do that participation thing. Myself and another coach are playing them one day, and we get to that. All they want to do is play, they call it scrimmage. Let's just play. Let's play a game. Don't do more drills. Let's play a game. So we get to the point, we're going to play a game. It's two of us, me and the other coach, and I think that day there might have been seven or eight at least boys. And this, I think, was U10 at the time. And I've got shoes on because I didn't have cleats or soccer boots. So I'm slipping around all over the place. But the two of us, coach and coach versus boys, we're creaming them. We're like passing it around, like, and I'm slipping down. And we were awesome. We get in the car to go home, and Ben's like, Dad, you should get some soccer boots. He says, you're really good. He goes, actually, you could be in your own team, like in an adult team, and not play with us. I'm thinking, totally I can. And then I say, but then I wouldn't get to play with you. What's the point? He could do this better on his own, but he doesn't want to because he wants to play with you. I was driving our youngest to school one day, and I want to train her up in the way that she should go. So I lean over and say, so what do you want to be when you grow up? She goes, I don't know. And I said, well, do you want to be the president? And she's like, no. she's number four, so number four, they learn everything. I said, do you want to be like an ambassador? And she's like, no. I said, do you want to be like the governor general? Which the Americans, you have to explain what that is. Do you want to be a governor general? She goes, no. I said, what do you want to be then? She goes, I just want to be with you, Dad. What is the desire of a father? The greatest desire of a father? Connection. Connection. What's he like? What's he really like? We go to a prison in Texas, maximum security prison. And they're doing a supernatural ministry school inside the prison. Hearing God, words of knowledge, healing the sick, raising the dead inside a prison. We go there, and there's this guy that comes in with us. His name's Rick. Rick is an ex-Marine, so American Marine. He tried to be a drill sergeant. Have you seen the drill sergeants, the ones that shout all the time? He did the personality test, and they said, your personality is too volatile to be a drill sergeant. So he left the Marines and became a businessman. He volunteers his time and he goes into the prison. He's a big guy. And when we go in with him, Rick, like he's, some people have pain and you wouldn't know it. Others, it's visible. Like when he walks, he drags his foot and it's fixed. And we're a bunch of people that are going into a prison and it's a supernatural ministry school inside a prison. So it's like, what are you going to do? Well, hey, Rick, what's with your foot? He said, well, 4 years ago, he was bow hunting, and he fell out of a tree where he was bow hunting. They had a stand and a hide in the tree. He fell out of the tree and smashed his ankle. The doctors said it was like powder, so they put metal and they fused it. It's just a miracle of health, what they can do. Fused his foot so it can't move, but at least he can use it, and he's constant pain. So can we pray for it? And he goes, no. I said, I'm keeping my pain. I said, why would you do that? He says, because through this, I got connected to Jesus. Like I knew about him, but through this pain, I got this connection with Jesus that I never had before. So I want to keep this pain. And we're like, Marine, is it because he's sadistic? Is this kind of crazy? It's like, no. He's got this genuine connection with Jesus that it's nothing like a bit of pain or difficulty to drive you to a connection where you're crying out for help. Is that right? So he's got that, and he never wants to lose that connection. So he never wants to lose the pain, the motivation, because he's got this motivation to stay connected. So we say, I'm not sure if I want to honor that. That was his choice. That's his choice. So I can't control. So we say, you know, you can have that connection with Jesus without the pain, right? He goes, yeah, I know, but I'm keeping this. That'll get taken when I die. It'll get taken care of. And so we are messing around with him. So we go in, just as we're walking along, we just put a hand on his back and just say, well, Jesus, if it's your will, take care of it. Now, what you and I know is that we know what his will is on earth as it is in heaven. We are the tabernacle of God. God's made his dwelling with us, and he's perfect in power, healing, miracles, everything. Well, I'm not seeing it all. I know we're just on a journey. It's still not working. It's not working out fully yet. So we've got a journey. So we say, well, Jesus, if it's your will, take care of it. And then we forget about it. The next morning, he gets up, gets out of bed, walks down the hallway, has a shave, and suddenly realizes he's got full mobility and no pain. He's like to his wife, Michelle, get down here. His response, take the day off work. Go back into the prison and tell them, because everyone knows what happened to him. He then tracks us down because we weren't there anymore. And he shows us, he's walking up and down the stairs. He's still overweight, a bit overweight and a little bit stiff. But he had more mobility in the foot that was fused than he did in his other foot. What's the point? Well, God's a gentleman. Maybe. But he didn't even want to get healed and he got healed. What's our Father like? Better than you think. A couple weeks ago, I was with this guy, Chris. His wife's Nancy. Nancy, in 2002, got diagnosed with MS. So, nasty nerve stuff. It progressed. So, 2004, she's now, they've got two little kids in a wheelchair. She can't do anything. She starts to say, hey, Chris, you'd be better off without me. And he's like, stop it. Don't even talk like that. So, they're doing everything they can. They're praying. I guess she starts to talk like that more and more and more. Wheelchair was 2008, fully immobile. And she's now like, I can't do anything. She'd get home. He'd get home and he'd find, the letters, the mail, he'd find it in the fridge. Just things started to go even more crazy in terms of she was deteriorating. 2009, she acts out what she'd been talking about. You'd be better off without me. He comes home from work. His wife's not there. He doesn't know what's going. So they call the medical people. And he can't do anything. So he just eventually goes to bed. And he goes to bed, has a dream. In the dream, he sees Jesus sitting on a throne, wrapping gifts. And in walks Nancy to Jesus. Now, Jesus obviously sitting in heaven. So it's like, and then Jesus is surprised to see in this dream, to see Nancy. And then he wakes up from the dream to the phone going. It's the medical people. They say, we found your wife. She has OD'd. So she took 600 pills. So took all her medication, took it all at once, completely OD'd in a hotel. So she took herself to a hotel. That's what she did. They finally got to her. And they call Chris, get down here. I mean, they come in, they tell her that's enough medication to kill 4 people. He comes in. So here's a woman, can't move, in a wheelchair, restricted fully, and commits suicide. He comes in into the hospital. He looks through. Last time he saw her, she was in a wheelchair. She's sitting on the side of a bed. This is not dream. This is real. She stands up, walks around to the other side of the bed, and sits down again. The medical people are shaking their head. We don't know what has happened here. This is just crazy. They sign her in for 10 days. They've got to go in and get psych ward. After 3 days, they just release her. There's nothing wrong with you. She gets home and discovers not only is she fully well, but she's got a new gift. She can paint. Nancy Conant is her name. You can look it up. The whole story's online, medically, all the details there. What's our Father like? See, he doesn't just want to reconnect you with him. He wants to make you whole. Not just whole physically so you can work for him, but whole so you can be fully alive. You can paint. She sells the paintings for money. Are you catching this? What's he like? He really is better than we think. And then he wants your dreams to come fully alive. So we're going to give these away because I figured it's happy birthday, right? So on your birthday, you give away things. So my kids are going to help me. So God wants your dreams to come true. So what are your dreams? What would you do if you could do anything? If you knew that your God was God, you were born of God, what would you do? So you've got to know how to. So this will help you. So happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Are you catching this? What's he like? He's better than you think. You come to church, you get given stuff. If you, and if you've already got one or you don't want one, give it to someone who does. I'm gonna finish with one. I'm gonna finish with one story, and then we're done. But what I want you to do is just ruin you for normal. Happy Father's Day. He's better than you think. And we've got to let go of what we think in order to fully realize what he's like. The testimonies are not about some crazy miracle. They're about people being fully restored and fully alive. So, is that, they're all gone? You guys will work it out. They'll work it out. Friend of mine, his name's Tim, grew up by the ocean. Gets saved, he's a banker, and they ended up at this meeting where we call it doing carpet time. Having this crazy time with God, and God's showing him things about himself. He's lying there and he sees this movie play in his mind. And in the movie, he sees himself as a boy, as a teenager, he would go sailing every day. Like every day that he wasn't at school. He goes out, and this particular day he got up early in the weekend, goes out sailing, and his parents don't know that he's gone. That's the key thing to remember. He goes out sailing, comes back later than usual. His dad wasn't a believer, and he comes up to step up the steps to come home to his house, had an awesome day sailing, steps up, goes to grab the door opens, his dad stands there, and his dad just smashes him in the face. Knocks him down. Now, that's fear brings out the worst in you. So I understand why. Tim's thinking, Jesus, why would you show this for me? Why would you play this in my mind? And suddenly, Jesus says nothing, but it replays. Because he's forgiven his dad. He's had count like all of this stuff's going on. He understands. He's grown. He's got his own kids now. Second time, he walks up the steps. The door opens. Second time, Jesus is standing there. And Jesus just takes this step forward, grabs a hold of him, holds him close, and says, I'm not like your father. You can come home anytime you want. And close your eyes for a moment. Wow. Father, thank you that you're not like any image. You're just so much better than any version or image of who you've been portrayed to be in the earth by other people that say they represent you, by teachers, parents, whoever. You're so much better than that. Father, we just choose to intentionally let go of any image that we have of you that's not who you are. Because any image that I can even imagine of you, you're still better than that. And this morning we come home. If you're sitting here and you're just having a fresh realization of what he's really like, it's really easy. It's just this: Jesus, I've screwed up on my own. My heart's hard and I've shut down and walled myself off from society. Because I don't want to get hurt anymore. But to know you, I've got to let go control. Let go of every of my own efforts. So Father, right now I come and I just let it all go. Where I've been hurt. Where I've messed up others. Where I've messed up myself. I let go the shame. I let go the pain and the brokenness. And Father, I want to know you as you really are. Father, let your presence flood this place. Holy Spirit, this is the land of the long white cloud. Let us be a people of the long white cloud. That you would cover us, that we would be aware of you, and that you would remain. That we would be your house. Holy Spirit, come and fill us. Fill us afresh. You'd soften our hearts and show us your ways that we would know you. Amen. I know some of you got to get kids, but there's a team, there's a ministry team that's going to pray with you. If you want someone to pray with you this morning, if you've got anything wrong in your body, physical, financial, mental, emotional, Jesus can take care of it. Usually requires us doing some things as well. That's okay. But if you'd like someone to pray with you, but I just want to encourage you, happy Father's Day. He's better than you think.
Hey, Andy. Are you guys okay to pray? Oh, yeah. The whole thing? Wow, awesome. Let's just have the ministry team come on up here. And if we can have some music ready to play, Robbie. Well, that was awesome, Andy. Thanks so much. And loving those stories. And thanks Fano, for prophesying. And it's amazing. Thank you. ministry team, come on up. And also, Andy and family, if you guys are welcome, we'd love you guys to pray for us too, if you're open to that. But we're going to just have some guys up the front here. If you guys want prayer, if you have, like Andy said, any pain in your body, or you just, especially if you've got like a dream in your heart that you really want to step into, and you just feel like you want some grace or some breakthrough on that, coming up the front. If you need some chains broken off and you're just really wanting breakthrough in any area of your life, come on up. Just going to open up this area up the front for prayer. But why don't we just give Andy a hand? Awesome. Awesome. Have we got any music? Cool. We've got tea and coffee down the back. We're gonna officially end the service there. But take someone out for lunch. Have a great week. If you want prayer, come on up the front. And God bless you.